Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we are checking in with cringy celebrities.
What else is new?
I know, right? That's our entire brand. Netflix's holiday slate, because it is never too early to talk about Halloween or Christmas / the holidays, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And we will be doing a cringe mode, She's the Man.
I'm so excited to discuss with you guys. We're finally on some good content. Before we get into the show, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles, from executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Okay, Tea Time is checking in with this category is what? Just cringy celebs plus some social media news at the end. So let's start with the cringe. Kate, go ahead.
As you guys know, the election is approaching rapidly. I hope you're all registered to vote. If you're not, please register. And celebrities also want you to register to vote. They want you to know that you should vote. They want you to know how important it is to engage in democracy. But they have taken some interesting routes to spread this message. And I want to be clear, voting is great. Voting is important. Please vote. However, these celebrities, you don't have to do it this way. I want to start with Karlie Kloss. As always, last month, Karlie Kloss, famously part of the Kushner family by marriage, so, you know, an important voice in our democracy, apparently, posted a selfie and said, "These boots were made for voting." And she's posing. She's doing like the classic influencer kneeling pose. If you don't know what it is, maybe like check out Sean Yu's Instagram page. And she's showing off her leg where her $700 boots are emblazoned with the word vote. And in the next profile selfie, she has the words vote on her earrings. Powerful stuff from Karlie Kloss, famously a Kushner. Just not what you want. She got ratioed for it like crazy. It's just like Karlie. Walk the walk, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Did not end there. There was a trend in the last couple weeks that was kind of part of this celebrity voting trend. You know, a lot of people wearing t-shirts that say vote, a lot of people selling merch that says vote. That's not great. And a lot of celebrities started posting thirst traps on Instagram that was like, you want to see more of this? And then it would be a link and the link would be like registering to vote. Sterling K. Brown got in on this. Lots of other people that I thought were woke, and I'm realizing are just like kind of basic. There was a really good write-up about it from Kevin Fallon at the Daily Beast. The headline was, "Celebs are posting ass pics to get you to vote. It's really dumb."
That sums it up. It really does.
Really sums it up. It's just like, it's just the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
I will say this. Sometimes.
Boo.
I do enjoy like when it's kind of like the lower tier celebs doing it, because it's like, oh, they care, but also they're thirsty for fame. Like my girl Lisa Rinna, to me, that post from like 10 years ago, Lisa, it's fine. I know you still have a good body, but that redeemed season 10 for me of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Honestly, she was like, hey, I'm sexy. Go vote Kamala and Joe. And I was like, yes, Lisa.
At least she put a name on it. Like, Karlie Kloss just being like, vote.
Everyone's like, for who, Karlie? We would like to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin Fallon, again, for the Daily Beast, really summed up well. He was just like, voting is important, but doing this just like is not enough. And like, you're a celebrity. You already have our attention. So like, you don't have to do this, first of all. You can use your platform in more interesting and like better ways. And the reason we're talking about this today is because there was another video posted yesterday where a lot of celebrities, exactly the celebrities that you would think, teamed up with Represent Us, which is a nonpartisan voting group. So, you know, maybe join with the partisan one next time. But people like Sarah Silverman, Amy Schumer, Josh Gad, Sacha Baron Cohen, Chris Rock, Mark Ruffalo, they all got naked and not in an interesting way, just like collarbone up. And mostly except for Sarah Silverman. And
she just will do like, any chance she gets to get those girls out. Chance. She's honestly, like, I'm here. I
almost respect it. But also, like, just do something more interesting. It was
Right. It was great the first 20 times.
Right. And The Daily Beast also had another write-up, this time from Laura Bradley. And it's just like, she said it well. She was like, it's hard to decide whether it's more depressing that A-listers think voters are too stupid to figure out voting without them getting naked. Or the fact that, like, maybe we are that stupid and we do need celebrities to do this. So it's just, like, kind of embarrassing. You know, donate money. Just talk about issues, talk about the specifics.
Yes. And also make a plan for how you're going to vote. This is for the tea baggers, the tea timers, whatever we're calling the niche group that we've got listening to this podcast. You should make a plan for how you're going to vote. You can make sure that you have everything you need at ballotready.org. Yes, this is actually useful information that we're giving you right now.
Yes!
At ballotready.org, you can check if you can mail in your ballot, vote early in person, you can find your polling place, because did you know you can vote before November 3rd in most states?
You can?
Ballotready.org.
Find I already did.
Crucial info. Yes.
Look at that.
That's my PSA.
Okay. I love that.
We can move on. Amelia, what do you have to say?
Well, I'm sure you're excited, both of you. I hate to do this, but real quick, Tyra on Dancing with the Stars update, because guess what? Our girl messed up, but it's okay. She blamed the cards. It was very much of an Oscar moment when they gave the wrong cards, allegedly. Oh. Yeah. So she was like, all right. And she was calling down the couples and like, you're safe, you're safe, you're safe. And then it was down to like three couples. Liz Crichel was in trouble.
Oh,
I know.
No.
It was her and someone else. I honestly don't remember. I'm sorry. Anne Heche. And then Tyra was like, oh, wait. Monica Aldama and Anne Heche are in the bottom two. And they had already excused Monica. So like you watch the TV and like Crichel runs by Tyra being like, I'm safe. Hee hee hee. And walks off. So she's safe.
Thank God.
Yeah, but it was really embarrassing. And like then Monica had to come out and then Tyra was just like, okay, Anne Heche. And then I guess Anne Heche stormed off and wouldn't talk to anyone according to Page Six. So
what?
It was just, and Tyra was like, live TV. It's live.
Oh no.
Yeah. So a little bit of an embarrassment, but you know.
That happened early in the season. Aren't we only a couple episodes in?
We're like three episodes in, I think. Yeah, it's not good. So, you know, only way to go for Tyra is up, as I like to say, right?
Yes. Okay. Also, like, Tyra Banks, seasoned host. Like, it's not like she was a celebrity for something else.
I know.
And, like, came into this and didn't know how to work note cards.
That's so true. She needs, like, the big cards with the people's faces, like she used to do for Top Model.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
They
That's
should
a
bring
great
that
idea.
Back.
Right. It's because she didn't have the pictures in her hand. That's why she had words. That's the problem.
Exactly. But it's okay, Tyra. We're still cheering for you. Also, Masked Singer update. Guess who was revealed last night on Masked Singer? Which I unfortunately missed. I cannot believe it because I was watching the stupid debate. No, I'm kidding. I know. It was Brian Austin Green.
Of former Megan
Fox husbandry.
Wow.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. That's a low for him.
Yeah. So honestly, no longer is Megan Fox's most embarrassing boyfriend Machine Gun Kelly. Am I right?
that might be maybe, true. It's a tough battle there, but yeah, maybe.
So he was the giraffe. The Amelia, like Victorian giraffe. Yes.
What eventually was the reveal for that big, never done before, never seen?
It was Mickey Rourke.
It was Mickey Rourke.
Jesus Christ. I forgot about that. I forgot who it was. Okay. Thank you. Okay. To wrap up the category, during a couple of social media news, and basically I just wanted to talk about Fleetwood Mac and why I'm forcing this upon you guys. And it's my two greatest joys in life. It's Fleetwood Mac and TikTok, because this man named Nathan Apodaca, he's 37 years old, lives in Idaho. Let me paint the picture for you, because he had a profile in the New York Times and they painted it quite well.
Wow.
About 8 a.m. on September 25th, Nathan's 2005 Dodge Durango's battery cut out as he was trying to get to work at an Idaho potato warehouse. This is not a new experience for him. The SUV had more than 330,000 miles on it. So Mr. Apodaca grabbed his phone, his large bottle of Ocean Spray crayon raspberry juice, and his longboard, the skateboard kept in his car just for such emergencies, and wheeled the rest of the way to work. Basically, this guy got on TikTok, like, on a whim, and skateboarded early morning and sang Dreams by Fleetwood Mac while drinking a gigantic jug of crayon raspberry Ocean Spray juice. It absolutely blew up in a way that, like, has affected the business of both Fleetwood Mac and Ocean Spray. It's unbelievable. And we talk a lot about these, like, rogue viral videos, but this created waves in a way that, like, is not really done that often. Since this video was posted and went viral, it's gotten 23 million views and counting. Ocean Spray has given this man a brand new truck that's, like, cranberry red, filled it with Ocean Spray juice.
Oh my God.
You guys have been following this story.
No,
I've been
no.
obsessed about this for days.
What okay. the fuck?
So Ocean Spray gave him a new car.
Only got $50 from Dunkin' Donuts. Are you shitting me?
He's got 23 million views on you.
Oh, okay, well, never mind.
Mick Fleetwood, a co-founder of Fleetwood Mac, recreated his video on his own longboard with the same juice.
It was great.
It was fucking amazing.
Oh my God.
These, like, governors, like, all around are, like, integrating it in their campaigns. They're like, everyone's trying to copy this video. He now has merch and has made more than $30,000 off of his own merchandise. Tons of donations have come in. Like I said, Ocean Spray has given him a brand new car. It's absolutely amazing. And Fleetwood Mac's dream had its largest ever streaming week last week with 8.47 million streams in the United States. That's like, everyone is a new group of people is discovering Fleetwood Mac and dreams.
Oh,
and I'm so happy
great.
For the world.
I feel like we have not properly explained how great the video is.
It's
like,
okay, go ahead. Can you explain
vibes,
it better?
The vibes of it, it's like this man who you would not expect to be on TikTok, first of all.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And he's just, like, vibing to this song, mm-hmm. just True. Rolling along the highway. And then he brings up this giant juice, and it's so much bigger than you expect. And it's like, why is it cranberry?
Right.
Just
it's
swigs
yeah,
it
cran
and
raspberry.
Keeps vibing. Yeah. And if you've seen his other TikToks, he actually, like, he just vibes and dances to all these yep. songs. He's like this middle-aged Latino man. He is not at all like what you would expect for a TikTok star. And it's yeah. just so wholesome and pure.
Yes.
And I just wish the best for him.
His TikTok username is 420dogface208. And it's like it's just absolutely amazing. And I want viral fame for more people like that. Like, not
yeah.
like
yes.
a kid who, like, mispronounces yeah. banana and then everyone's like, ha, 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 goes on Ellen. Like, these are the real people.
Did
I
Did that actually
see on
happen?
TikTok. Yeah, it happens every week. I feel like some kid says something and then goes on Ellen. Anyway, he's achieved great success so far and he's just on the up and up. So just keep going. And I'm so happy. And it lets me listen to dreams, like, all day long. So
there you go.
Great.
Win-win.
That is great.
Okay. Next category. You guys, it is October 9th by the time you're listening to this, which means it's fall. It's basically the holiday season. Mm-hmm. So Tea Time is going to preview Netflix's holiday slate, which they just released this week. Kate, thoughts? Take it away.
It's too early for this, if you mm-hmm. ask me. I went in Macy's yesterday, unfortunately, and there were more Christmas trees than people, which like this, I guess I preferred, but only by a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's too early for Christmas, I think. No. However, wow. Netflix does not agree. They released their entire, most of their holiday slate this week, the calendar for everything, which is very much in Hallmark's kind of imprint, which we will go into later. I want to call out some highlights from the Netflix slate. As you know, we're very invested. We've done whole Netflix holiday podcasts on the Ringer Dish feed before. We've talked about it at length on this podcast. And we just got a preview of what we're in for. So I want to start out with the queen of Netflix Christmas, Vanessa Hudgens, who is starring in Princess Switched Again. Now, the Netflix tweet about this says, Vanessa Hudgens, and Vanessa Hudgens.
Ooh.
If you remember, three Vanessa Hudgens is in this movie. As Princess Stacy tries to help Duchess Margaret get through a rough patch with Kevin, Margaret's outrageous cousin Fiona, a third lookalike, arrives in town. I believe every person except Kevin in that sentence is played by Vanessa Hudgens. She could also be Kevin. That could be the plot twist.
Oh my God.
My favorite part of this is that they tweeted three images of this movie, and it's just like exactly what you think. It's Vanessa Hudgens looking exactly the same in some coats and then some nice dresses. My favorite part is that they say her outrageous cousin Fiona. No one in these pictures is anywhere near outrageous. They're just like Vanessa Hudgens with a bob in a coat. So I'm very curious if this is just Stacey and Margaret or if any of these are Fiona.
I'm bummed that of the Christmas movies Vanessa Hudgens did last year, they're not bringing a sequel to The Night Before Christmas, which I was forced to watch last year. Like, where is that sequel? That feels like less of a heavy lift for Vanessa Hudgens. She just has to play the one girl.
Oh
so
my God, you're right.
Did not go with that.
She just
not
didn't sure. have time. That was the one Fiona in the schedule just like couldn't make both of those happen. Right. Other highlights, Liz, please walk us through the Dolly Parton Christmas movie.
Oh my God, I am so excited. This one's called Christmas on the Square. It's got Dolly Parton, who you all know I love. It's got Christine Baranski, maybe for like the Kate Howell fans out there who
the
like
Chris Ryans of the world.
Yeah. So Baranski is playing a rich and nasty woman named Regina Fuller, who returns to her small hometown after her father's death to evict everyone and sell the land to a mall developer right before Christmas. It's a classic tale. Dolly Parton plays an angel, which is so perfect. And, you know, eventually what will happen perhaps is Christine Baranski has a change of heart right before the holidays, does not turn this land into a mall. Perhaps. We don't know. Basically, I'm extremely excited to see Dolly Parton acting these two women on the big screen on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Also, I think it's a musical. I think Dolly Parton will sing.
It has to be. Even if it's not a musical, she will sing.
Yes. So yeah, I can't wait for that. And then I've come back around. I had a real big Great British Bake Off phase in my life, and then I shuttered it. And then now I'm bringing it back because Mallory Rubin and I have been talking a lot about it. I like stopped after the Mary Berry era. I think I'm coming back because they're releasing this holiday edition, as I have in the past, of the Great British Bake Off. And it's just immediate serotonin, this show. And then you add the holiday flair to it and it's like 1,000 times better. It's soothing. It's comforting. It's like a warm Christmas hug from like your favorite family member. I'm so excited. I'm definitely going to be tuning back in. Plus like, Kate, you've been baking a lot, I feel like. Maybe this will inspire me to bake some Christmas treats.
Ooh. Maybe it will. I've also been watching the new season of The Great British Bake Off, and it's like very inspirational and very soothing. So we'll see. Maybe we'll make like a truffle. Who knows?
Ooh, get crazy. Yeah. What are some lowlights from this Netflix holiday calendar?
Well, some of them are just boring. You know, like a lot of them we don't have a lot of info on yet. They only tweeted details about a couple. I want to highlight, or lowlight, Operation Christmas Drop, which stars Kat Graham of Vampire Diaries fame, quote unquote, and Alexander Ludwig of Hunger Games, only the first movie, fame. and they star in Operation Christmas Drop as a congressional aide and the Air Force tour guide she clashes with when she arrives to find reasons to defund his facility. Now, first I was like, defunding the military, like, all right, sure. And then, however, the last sentence says, once there, she discovers the base has been hiding a sweet seasonal secret. So that plan just...
A sweet seasonal secret.
I don't know what it'll be.
What
There's
does
a lot
that
of,
mean?
It looks
are
like...
Are they hiding Santa Claus, perhaps? Or something? Like, they are the North Pole? Sweet seasonal secret? Hard to say. Makes you think.
I will not be watching, probably, but I will Wikipedia it when it comes out. I also want to ask, on this long list, there is no... Christmas Prince 4. Previously, the Netflix really kicked off their like buzzy holiday slate with A Christmas Prince a few years ago. And then there was Christmas Prince Royal Wedding. Then there was The Christmas Prince Royal Baby. And they appear to have bailed on the series after 3. There's no Christmas Prince 4.
Where they moved to like LA and like take part in the Netflix brand. Maybe they're waiting for Meghan and Harry to come on to the brand fully to help them shape The Christmas Prince 4.
Maybe.
I would be really into that. I am not optimistic as to the odds of that, but I just think, you know, they've forgotten their roots. This is what That's the true. Netflix Christmas brand was built on, along with Vanessa Hudgens' Blood, Sweat, and Tears. So come on, Christmas Prince 4, just give us something.
Yeah, That's true.
I agree.
I also think, on that note, where's The Christmas Prince 4? How about, honestly, where are more movies? There's only 17. Mm-hmm. Hallmark has like 22. I feel like Netflix, you have the money. You have kind of, this is like your time to overtake Hallmark in terms of Christmas movies.
Yes.
I just like, why not? Just come on. Agreed. Give a little, care
Speaking
a little bit.
Speaking of that, how does this stack up to Hallmark's schedule? Is this worse? Is this better? Content-wise and like scheduling-wise, all of it.
Yeah, so Hallmark released their schedule in late September, so they got the jump on them in terms of that. Mm-hmm. But I was scrolling through the list. They just don't have the star power, which is not to say that Kat Graham and Alexander Ludwig are like A-listers. But like they're, you know, I like to think I have a decent knowledge of like D-list celebs. And I was scrolling through the Hallmark list. And it's just the people that you think are there. It's the girl from Mean Girls who had the toaster strudels. Who's that one?
Lacey Chabert.
She's
Lacey
Chabert. It's her.
Gretchen Wieners.
It's the one from Full House that's not in jail.
What?
The Full House star that's in jail.
Candace Cameron Bure.
Yeah. She's in a couple.
Yeah.
I'm just crushing this.
I'm browsing through these. I read Bill Hader, but actually it's Brad Harder. So that's not
yikes.
It.
Yikes.
Allison Sweeney is in one.
Do you think that's like a business Allison strategy Sweeney. To like get almost an A-list name so that people think that's you're Bill Hader?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
I honestly think that's a great idea.
Yeah. None of these are good. Oh, no. Candace Cameron Bure. I see this here now.
Right.
If only I had Christmas.
That's and really they cool. have Jonathan Bennett, who played Aaron Samuels in Mean Girls as well, which is good for him. Because last time I checked, he was doing like Cupcake Wars, like on HGTV.
So he's doing better than 90% of the people on this list.
Right.
I do want to give a shout out to Aaron Tveit, who's on this list.
That's sad.
Broadway star Aaron Tveit of Les Mis.
Look, I would take a Hallmark check as well. I would be in these movies. I can't say that I'm better than that. But I do feel like on the Netflix to Hallmark spectrum, you obviously want to be on the Netflix side of it.
For sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But these are, I would take the bag too. I mean, it's like a 3-day shoot in LA with fake snow.
Right.
Your hair is just curled the way you always curl it. You're in a coat and like, that's it.
Right.
I do want to say that it can't get that much worse than Fat Man, which was a Christmas movie that was announced yesterday, starring Mel Gibson, which tells you everything you need to know. He should have just bailed out on it then.
Yeah.
But it's a gritty, dark comedy about Santa, where he teams up with the military because he's struggling and he like shoots people and is violent. And again, it's starring Mel Gibson. And I just like, literally, it can't get worse than that for
me. Kate, because I love you, I did watch this trailer when you put it in the Slack channel.
Awful.
And I hate you for it. It literally is like worse than you could even possibly imagine.
Right.
I don't want to tell you to watch it because I don't want Mel Gibson to get those stream numbers.
Yeah.
But it just trust us, it looks atrocious.
To be fair, I put it in Slack with, this is literally the worst thing I've ever seen. And Liz said, okay, I'll watch. So that one's on you.
You gotta eat that shit up.
My final question for this category is, October 28th is the first Netflix Christmas movie. October 24th is the first Hallmark Christmas movie. Is that too early?
No, never.
I respect your opinion,
like
but I disagree.
November 1 fair? I do want to be in the spirit. And every time Christmas is over, I was like, I wish I enjoyed it for longer. Although the month of October, you got the pumpkins out. Do you guys do any like Halloween decorations in your places?
Yeah, we have pumpkins.
That's nice.
Sometimes.
All right, you're halfway there. bottom line is no, I don't think so.
November 1st is fine. But October, no.
Yeah.
You're two holidays away.
Agreed.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Okay, let's do it. I'm just so freaking excited to do Cringe Mode. She's the Man. I've slaved through Twilight. I've slaved through Magic Mike, the first and the second. I'm just really excited to talk about a movie that's been giving me joy since 2006.
Again, I really think you misunderstand the whole concept of this category, but continue.
Anyway, this is by popular demand. You guys agreed that this is just a freaking great movie. So you're right. There are some cringy parts of it, which we'll definitely discuss. Kate, do you feel comfortable doing the like little synopsis of She's the Man?
Sure. Amanda Bynes, iconic Amanda Bynes, is a soccer player and her team cuts the girls. Her school cuts the girls team. And she's like, I must play soccer. Conveniently, her brother is supposed to go to this prep school, but he doesn't want to go. So he bails off to London with his band. Are they twins?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, they're twins. So she's like, oh my God, a great way to get back at my school would be to pretend to be my brother, play for this opposite team's male soccer team, beat my original school in this game and be like, suck it, whatever. So she does that. The whole movie is her pretending to be her brother. It comes out at the end that she's not. She plays on the team as a girl. She romances Channing Tatum. It's all great. It's a great movie.
It's a freaking great movie. She is so funny. It's peak Amanda Bynes, which we'll talk about a lot in this category. So let's go through some highlights. Amelia, you go first.
I just want to say, rewatching this movie, I was just struck at how many great one-liners there are. One of my favorites is from Sebastian's girlfriend / ex-girlfriend when they're at the pizza parlor and one of the guys on the soccer team tries talking to her and she's like, girls with asses like mine don't talk to boys with faces like yours, which is just,
it's iconic.
It's a great line. another great line that I just freaking love too is, another one of the soccer player dudes, Toby, who's best friends with Channing Tatum's Duke. They're talking about this girl named Eunice, who's kind of like the really nerdy, kind of weird girl. But he has had feelings for her in the past. And then Amanda Bynes as Sebastian, like, gives her attention and everyone's like, oh, Eunice is cool now. And then this is what Toby says. Okay, how come when I wanted to ask Eunice out, everyone made fun of me. But then Sebastian likes her and suddenly she's cool. Screw you guys. I hate high school.
It's so good. The dialogue, the one-liners are fucking great. I still say my favorite's Gouda to my friends all the time. It's just do you like cheese is so iconic. Amanda Bynes saying, I'll specifically talk about her like weird accent later. She like trying to portray a boy, her twin brother. Like she takes on this like weird dialogue. Like kind of, she says like word Jimon. Like she's got all these like really weird zany one-liners that actually make me laugh out loud.
When she's like, Beckham does it all the time, and I just the little affectation will never not make me laugh. It's just so funny. It's so funny.
I have more of those that I want you to do because I can't do them. I'll just tell you about them later. And then also, Kate, what's a highlight from you?
I love a good makeover montage. We get one in this movie as we get several, as Liz noted, where she's like learning how to be a boy and she's walking behind all these men in the street, like trying to copy their walk and copy their mannerisms. And like, you know, her friend who sort of styles her, Paul, is like trying on all these wigs and mustaches. I just love a makeover, or in this case, make under montage.
True. There's also one where Channing like teaches her how to be better at soccer. She's like training on her own. They've got like five or six in this movie, which is one of my favorite parts of any movie. So it's good that they just like leaned fully in. We also love a female-focused soccer movie. Granted, it's not about the women's soccer team so much as like Amanda Bynes playing soccer. But I do think the sport of soccer is one of the most fun sports to portray in a movie because you don't have all this heavy equipment and stuff covering your face like you do football, which like every sports movie is about football. You can't really like pick the people to concentrate on even if you do like a big run or whatever you call it. It's just like not as satisfying. Soccer is like you can get really close up. You can see all their footwork. It's like just much more fun to cut together all those pieces than I think any other sport.
I agree with you completely. I want to know, here's why I think it's so good. In basketball, it's like a basketball movie. Okay, whatever. But like any jaw-dropping moment is just like they make a basket. Which, so like, true. It looks the same from everywhere. It's not that exciting. Sure. Whereas soccer, you get, like, the flip kick. You get the penalty kick. You get, like, the fancy trick shots.
Right.
And you get the, like, body-to-body combat of football.
Yeah.
So then, true. Like, people get hurt. People get in fights. Like,
true.
You get all of that, like, in one.
Right.
True.
And Amanda Bynes, maybe it's because I played soccer my whole life and I love the, like, women's soccer, like, aspect of this movie, but she's got like the hair tape in, she's got all the like the long shorts, like she didn't try to like cutesy this up too much, although I have a problem with the last soccer scene, but we'll talk about that later. Okay, last highlight, Amelia.
Oh, I just want a quick note. I was watching this movie and I was like, wow, everyone has really pretty green eyes. So that was
that
nice.
Is true. That is true.
Okay.
It's a good looking cast.
It is an extremely good looking cast. Okay, let's do some low lights, Kate.
Here's my problem with just this the concept of one of the scenes in this movie. There's a carnival. It's a fundraiser. The girl who has a crush on Amanda Bynes as Sebastian, so like the boy version of her, Channing Tatum has a crush on this girl. What's her name so I can stop
Olivia.
Calling her the girl? Olivia.
Olivia.
She's working in a kissing booth and Channing Tatum's like, I'm going to go get me a piece of that. And then at the last minute, Amanda Bynes as Viola steps in. Channing Tatum has to kiss Viola. However, has a kissing booth ever existed in real life? I'm convinced that this is just an entirely fictional creation because it's gross and ridiculous and doesn't make sense. There's no way that Amanda Bynes is kissing the many young children that were lined up behind Channing Tatum.
Right. Or the really old man that has something in his mouth that's not his tongue or whatever they talked about. Yeah. Like, there are no rules at this festival.
I just feel like I've never heard of anyone having one of these in real life ever in history. I didn't look it up because I know, I'm sure it has existed at some point, but I didn't want to know about it.
I feel like it happened like in the 50s, you know, when everything was like, America.
When people didn't know about consent. Yeah.
Right. This is serious. If you guys have kissing booth, if you've ever seen one out in the real world, please tweet us, DM us.
I really want to know.
I'm genuinely interested.
Yeah.
I feel like it lives in the same world as like 7 Minutes in Heaven and Spin the Bottle and all these things I thought would happen to me that never did, that were like this like a classic component of like your
just
adolescent
overused,
experience.
So overused by movies and TV and just like never in the real world.
I have been present at, I was not in the closet for 7 Minutes in Heaven, but I have been present at a 7 Minutes in Heaven.
Okay.
Oh, really?
We'll check that one off the list.
But that's about it.
Yeah.
And then I just want to say, speaking of the carnival, did anyone catch that really weird moment? Because there were like stilt walkers and this stilt walker like bends down, takes a child, like literally hoists this child up over his shoulder, and then they cut and they don't go back to it.
Amelia, it reminds me of the poor girl you tracked in Magic Mike XXL that was just tied to the swing the whole time, and like the show went on and this woman was just left. You really care about every person in this
thank
movie.
Thank you.
I really,
you know,
I gotta
care about those extra characters.
Yeah.
I'm worried for that little girl, but yeah.
Yeah. Another lowlight is I was reminded at like how immature high school boys are, because there were some accurate parts from this movie, like when Amanda Bynes is talking about like quote unquote her twin sister, but it's really her, and she's like, they asked if she's hot and she's like, well, she has a great personality, and then all the guys including Jane Tatum was like, oh. And then they like Olivia walks by, you know, the love interest for Channing Tatum and like also whatever main character, and they basically said like she was recently broken up with, so her confidence is way down, she's got really low self-esteem, she's really depressed. And then when the guy's like, so that means it's time to pounce, and they like high-five each other. And I was like, you know what, I don't miss that as a 27 year old woman.
Yeah, let's pretend it stops when they get to high school.
Please God, let's pretend. I just live in denial. Okay, also, you guys know I just pick apart specific things, but I have to talk about it. And I know this is not a visual experience that you guys go through on Tea Time, but in the last scene, picture this. If you've seen it once, I think you'll recall what I'm talking about. It's the like most crucial moment of the whole film. Amanda Bynes as her true self, right, goes in and plays soccer against her evil ex-boyfriend who's a huge dick, and she's like been kind of against this whole movie. It's like the final moments of this game, and the girl Amanda Bynes has like revealed herself to be a girl. She is playing with her hair down and in front of her face. And I know in my heart as a film major, it's because they had to protect, like they could, some actual soccer players playing who's brunette and like not Amanda Bynes, but they had to like kind of pretend it's Amanda Bynes. So they cover this girl's face. It is so distracting. She's literally playing with all of her hair. Like she's like this, and she's like,
Liz is demonstrating.
Like that. It's truly wild. I had a huge problem with it. And maybe it's because I hate my hair and my face. But she's literally rewatched that one scene if you're going to rewatch this movie.
It's awful.
It is.
Truly
no,
awful.
No female athlete. I guess probably some have. But like we all played high school sports. No one plays with their hair down.
No one.
No. Never.
Just do her back if you're going to do that. Anyway, yeah. I had a huge problem with that.
No, I agree. I'm over here sweating my ass off every day. I'm not even exerting any physical abilities, and I have to freaking put my hair up into a goddamn bun.
Amelia and I put our hair up for tea time today.
Yeah, exactly. It's always up. Okay, sorry.
Last low light.
What the fuck are the cheerleaders at this soccer game wearing? One, why are there cheerleaders at this soccer game? Two, why are they in like booty short things?
It's like a bikini.
It's like a bikini. What?
It's bad. No high school cheerleaders wear this.
No.
You guys, what has aged the best and the worst from She's the Man?
Okay. Again, I love, and Liz, I know you are similar. Love a good Shakespeare teen movie adaptation. And this movie was inspired by Twelfth Night. So thank you, everyone. Yeah.
There's a lot of little nods. They like kind of do all the names kind of correctly, like Orsino, Duke of Illyria is now Duke Orsino. Malvolio is like the name of the random tarantula. Viola, Olivia, and Sebastian are all like the same characters' names. There's like a lot of little details that I did appreciate from the production. Like Amanda Bynes passes the school bulletin board and it's like advertising the school's production of What You Will, which is like another name for Twelfth Night. So like the school's putting on the same play. Cesario's, so which is like the pizza parlor they all go to, is like Viola alias. There's a million I could go on and on, but like I'm nerding out. But anyway, just know that they did pay attention to those details and I really liked it.
What aged badly from this movie? I just had to get this off my chest and then we can move on. Supporting the gender binary. Not great. This whole movie is based on a girl trying to pass as a boy and doing stereotypical boy things and then being like, no, actually I'm a girl and doing stereotypical girl things and just like, you know, we were past that. It's 2020. However, I thought part of this that aged well is that I think it would have been really easy to make Viola like a boy's girl and be like, I'm too good for the girls. Like, I'm going to go play on the boys team and like, I'm going to do boy stuff. And I only have boy friends. And I love that. First of all, she's a girly girl. She wears dresses when she's allowed to and when she wants to. And her hair is down and styled and she likes it that way. And she has really girly friends. And, you know, she doesn't want to be a debutante, but she still wears like a really cute dress at the end. And like, I just think it would have been really easy to kind of throw like the girly girl type under the bus for the purposes of this movie. And like a couple times she almost sells herself out like as a girl because she's like, oh, my God, they sell shoes in Anthropology, which like, you know what I mean? They didn't they didn't have to make that part of her personality, but I appreciate that they did.
And on that note, Olivia, who Channing Tatum loves originally, is in love with this is getting confusing with Amanda Bynes, but like playing her brother. And she says like part of the reason or a big reason she's attracted to him is like his delicate features and his sensitivity and his like kind of what you would associate with like more feminine qualities, but that is so attractive to her in Sebastian. So it's like not like Amanda Bynes went in and like was this like super, super, super overly masculine. And that's what got Olivia's character into him. It was like the parts of her or Amanda Bynes' character that were like kind of out of the norm, which I really
the
like.
The pronouns, trying to work the pronouns for this movie is so difficult.
I know. I don't even know if I tracked all of that. I'm trying to just put Amanda Bynes' name everywhere.
Right. They know what we mean. I also wanted to give a shout out because I thought the styling actually aged really well. We talk about a lot of early or mid 2000s movies and how awful the styling is. So shout out to this movie because it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. Also, on the aughts note, I really enjoyed the soundtrack. It's very like dated and of the time, but it's just, it's really fun. You know, like I feel like a big thing during that time was to like recreate a popular song or a song they've used before. Like they had the You're Gonna Make It After All song during the transformation from Viola to Sebastian. And they, but it was like kind of jazzed up for like 2006. I don't know. I just really love that. They had some All-American Rejects.
They also put great songs with the great montages. So they're just perfect scenes.
You gotta.
Yes. Yeah. At Ray La Montagne. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
So good.
Okay. MVP. It's possibly a clear winner, but I'm curious your guys' thoughts.
I mean, I think we all agree that it's Amanda Bynes. You guys added some additional people just to shout them out. But I want to talk specifically about Amanda Bynes' face and her like comedic facial expressions because she is working so hard in this movie. Like every line, every reaction, like she has, first of all, just like a hilarious face. And she just is so committed to being funny in every single second of this movie that she's reacting in these like really over the top, but really funny ways to all of these scenes. I really can't do it justice. She just is so, her face is so expressive and so inherently funny.
Yeah, she took the best parts of like the Amanda Show and she got to showcase it. Is the other time that she got to showcase it that clearly, because her other roles is like, it's just not as like, there's not as much physical comedy. There's not as much like comedy in the dialogue and like for her to kind of be as zany as like what is her true bread and butter. So I think this is just like her perfect role, honestly.
Agreed.
She also, we talked about this earlier, but develops this like odd, but it kind of is just like her niche kind of weird dialect that she goes into. Amelia, you can do it better than I can, but it's like half Southern, half kind of mumbled that like is all in the Amanda Show and like,
whatever. I love it. I love it.
All of her roles,
so
she incorporates like a little bit of that. I also want to give a shout out to David Cross, who is the headmaster of this school. I find him so funny. And it was just a very odd role for him to be in. Like, it's just a joy to see him in this random 2006 Amanda Bynes movie. And I think he like holds steady with Amanda Bynes and all the scenes that they're in together.
I do. You know how you quote the Gouda? My friends and I would quote the "Welcome to Illyria, welcome, 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 welcome." I just love that line.
He's
so good
in it, and he like comforts so funny. Her. And like in the last scene, and he's like unveiling all this stuff. He's just so good. He's so good.
So good. Also, just want a quick shout out again from last week's MVP, Channing Tatum. He is. I don't know what it is. He's just so charming. And in this movie, he's charming because he plays that, you know, regular guy, but he's also sensitive. There's a scene where he's like, and I just felt like, wow, Channing Tatum, you really either feel, which I feel like he is a feminist. I don't want to assume, but I would assume so. And not only that, but he's just a good actor. And he's like, wow, you really talk about girls in such graphic tones. And I don't know. It's just like, I felt that when you said that. And I felt your disdain for it, Channing. Thank you. So
this was released the same year as his dance movie, Step Up. So 2006 was just like kind of the year of Channing Tatum about to blow up. And I appreciated that he's not like uber famous at this point, but you can tell he's so talented and is going to be big.
Exactly.
Yeah. I also feel like we did him dirty the first Magic Mike where we were like, none of us are attracted to Channing Tatum. So just for the record, he's really hot in this movie.
That is true.
It just has to be said. Credit is due.
100%. 100%.
Okay, let's do the lightning round. Is this a sports movie, Kate?
I say yes. I think we all agree.
Yes.
I mean, the bulk of it is not spent on sports, but if it has a big game at the end of any movie, I think it's officially a sports movie.
True. Next one. Do we have a modern day Amanda Bynes? And if so, who is it?
I would say there is an argument to be made for Zendaya. After working at Disney and having to like watch some of her in Casey Undercover, which is a Disney Channel show, she's funny. She's very funny. And she has like these faces that she does that are just really expressive and really good. And they kind of remind me of Amanda Bynes, but she doesn't have the voice work, you know, that an Amanda Bynes has. But I do think they are both super talented, like comedic actresses. So.
Yeah.
I think the Amanda Bynes, like slapstick, zany, like overly expressive humor is like kind of slightly outdated right now in 2020, and it could come back around. But I think like her very classic type of humor is like not something that young actresses are like kind of going for, unless you're on the Disney Channel, which I obviously don't watch. So maybe there's tons of it there. But it like takes me back to a point in time watching her because like that was all over everything we watch, like that specific kind of humor. And I do find it like very genuinely endearing and charming.
Yeah. I think maybe the closest thing we have to this type of humor is like those Twitter, TikTok comedians where they'll do the video where they're like, and again, I think this kind of humor is like only sometimes works and has been like a little overdone, but there are these specific people who like will do, you know, telling your coworker about your date and like will have kind of the facial humor and like the over the top voices and that kind of thing.
The facial
and I feel like
humor.
That's a similar brand.
That's true. I think a lot of people are kind of worried. I mean, I don't want to assume, but again, but of like looking weird or like quote unquote ugly or something. And I just love that people like Amanda Bynes and Zendaya are like not afraid to like really give good face.
Yeah.
Which
I would
appreciate.
Like to see a Zendaya comedy. I think she's kind of left this behind, but I would like
I
her to kind of take this over.
Me too. Have you guys ever thought or used the tampon in your nose for a nosebleed? Have you guys ever done that or thought about it?
No,
I'm
but
so
it's
sorry.
Genius.
It is. It is. Definitely thought about it.
I forgot about this tip until I saw the movie and I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now I put it in my back pocket for the future. What is your favorite kind of cheese, you guys? Kate?
I love a baked brie.
Amelia?
But I love all cheese, honestly.
Truly. As someone who lived in Wisconsin for a while, I would say Swiss for every day. But I do love a goat cheese with berries for special occasions.
Ooh,
yes. And there's a great, if you've ever been to Madison, Wisconsin, there's a really great cheese shop because it is Wisconsin. It's called Fromagination. Oh my God. The selection, the little accoutrements. Amazing. You got to go. You got to go.
Do you guys like Gouda? I don't know that I've ever had it, to be honest.
Yeah, Gouda's great.
What do you put Gouda on? And then we'll move on.
Crackers?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Okay.
Liz, what's your favorite cheese?
My favorite cheese is brie for like a picnic, but I'm one of those people that kind of like the dairy-free cashew milk type of cheeses, which are just as good. You just need to find the right brand.
No, they're not.
Okay, moving on. Tea Time's unanswerable question. You've got one from Kate and then one from the tea bag. Amelia, how about you start from the tea bag?
Yes, from the tea bag. This goes nicely with what we just talked about. So this is from Sam Bright at Sam Bright with two T's. What is Amanda Bynes' actual best movie?
Great question.
This is very appropriate for this episode.
Right? But
basically what you choose between like her best movies is like What a Girl Wants, Easy A, Hairspray, Sydney White, and She's the Man. That's like the top group of them, right?
Yes.
In which I'm going to say She's the Man. Maybe I'm like biased, but I think that would be my pick no matter what.
Yeah, she's a real scene stealer in Hairspray and in Easy A. Mm-hmm. However, they're not Amanda Bynes movies, you know?
Right.
Whereas, like, She's the Man, all the other ones, like actually star her, and She's the Man is the best of them.
Yeah,
that is Amanda Bynes. True.
Yeah. Although she is really great in both Easy A and Hairspray.
I do love her in Hairspray. I forgot about that movie. Amelia, what's your pick?
I'm going to have to agree and say She's the Man, but I will say, you know, What a Girl Wants. I remember that was one of the first like teen movies I got to see. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, oh my God, it's like this girl and she's going abroad with like Colin Firth as her dad. And it's like the whole British, I feel like the British thing was really big back then. And I don't know. She was great in it again. That was like her first like real like movie. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm not going to lie. I've always loved the Amanda Show. Great show. Yeah.
Agree. Kate, what is your unanswerable question?
All right. I feel like there isn't a lot of enthusiasm for this, but I had to ask because I learned some disturbing news about my coworkers this week. It was the 20th anniversary of Gilmore Girls this week. There was a lot of Gilmore Girls think pieces and discourse on the timeline. And I learned some really disturbing news when a coworker shared an article into our Slack and said, what Rory boyfriend team are you on? I thought, you know, as every Gilmore Girls fan knows, it's Dean, Jess, and Logan are the three boyfriends of Rory. And I found out that the vast majority of the Ringer staff that responded are Team Logan. And I was horrified by this as a Team Jess girl. And I feel like no one else on this podcast really cares as much as I do, but I had to ask just to know the truth about each of you. What team are you on if you're on any team at all?
I have never seen a single episode of Gilmore Girls.
God.
It's my understanding that they just drink coffee and like be in the foliage all
Liz,
day.
Liz, you would love Gilmore Girls.
And talk really fast.
Yes.
Are you sure?
You would. Yes.
Why? Because it's wholesome?
It's good. It's a good show.
Okay. Amelia, have you ever seen Gilmore Girls?
I've seen like maybe two episodes.
Oh my God.
Tough.
Kaya, unmute yourself. Kaya McMullen, unmute yourself. Have you ever seen Gilmore Girls?
Save Kate.
Maybe like a few episodes.
Oh my God. Wow. Get me out of here. Wrap this up. I'm done.
All alone.
I'm done.
But I will say, I like the guy, the Milo Ventimiglia guy, because he's
okay.
Hot.
So you're team Jess. Thank you. Okay. I'll take that as just a very slight win.
Okay.
Okay, that's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more Cringe Mode and other celeb news. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.